hands and let's worship. Father, we give you the praise and the honor. There is none like you. There is none besides you. There is none that compares to you. There is none that is qualified to be called God apart from you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Be glorified, be honored, and be adored. Breathe upon this service tonight to the glory of your name. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take it. Precious name of Jesus Christ. Say aloud, amen. It's our month of risen in glory. The glory is risen in supernatural abundance. And tonight, I want to speak on the covenant of supernatural supply. The covenant of supernatural supply. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, all the way to verse 22. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Tonight, we want to, by way of objective, understand the covenant of supernatural supply. Every aspect of the life of the child of God is covered by scripture. Every aspect. Every aspect. The aspect of health, marital aspect, spiritual aspect, financial aspect. Every aspect of the life of the child of God is covered in scripture. And that includes the aspect of supernatural supply or divine provision. We are not just saved and left to ourselves to fend for our lives. In this study, there are dimensions of consideration we shall be exploring that will deepen our understanding of the subject of supernatural supply and the covenant. Number one, consideration. God is the God of covenant. Number one, truth, thought, fact, or consideration tonight. God is the God of covenant. Genesis 8, 20 to 22, we read it just now. Noah builded an altar and God stepped into a covenant. And he said, as long as the earth remain, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. God is the God of covenant. In Genesis chapter 22 and in verse 14, after he told Abraham to offer Isaac, and then Abraham, in the course of offering Isaac, God provided a ram that took the place of Isaac. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That is a covenant name. The Lord God, my provider, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. God is the God of covenant. In Psalm 89, verse 34 to verse 35, he said, my covenant will I not break. You could stop there. Nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. He is the God of covenant. God is the God of covenant. Number two, God is a covenant keeper, not a covenant breaker. He is not just the God of covenant. He is the God who keeps covenant. He is the covenant keeper. God is a covenant keeper, not a covenant breaker. Psalm 89 verse 34, again, where we just read, to verse 35, we just read it. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. I will not break my covenant. I keep my covenant. I will not lie. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, it confirms that. For I am the Lord, I change not. I don't change words. I don't change mouth. I don't change tongue. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Numbers chapter 23 and in verse 19. Numbers chapter 23 and in verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We serve the God of covenant. He is the covenant keeper, not a covenant breaker. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and in verse 29. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 29. He said, also, the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent. For he is not a man that he should repent or change his mind. The strength of Israel will not lie. What is the meaning of that? His strength is rooted in his lielessness. If he can lie, he is no longer strong. The reason why he is the strength of Israel is that he will not lie. The strength of Israel will not lie. For he is not a man that he will lie. Covenant means he has said it. If you do this, I will do this. And he will not break his covenant. And he will not lie. I think it is Titus chapter 1 verse 2 that said, in the hope of eternal life, which God, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, God cannot lie. Where we saw, and I say, God will not lie. Now he has gone further to say, God cannot lie. Now God will not lie means he chooses not to lie. God cannot lie means even if he wants to lie, it is impossible. God cannot lie. Bear does not swim. Tiger does not fly. Cannot fly. God cannot lie. He's the covenant keeper, not a covenant breaker. Number three, God's covenant is as solid as the earth and as rigid as the day, night, and day rhythm. Again. God's covenant is as solid as the earth and as rigid as the night and day rhythm. Solid as the earth. Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains. The moment you woke up in the morning and the earth held your feet. For as long as this earth has not ended, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The day you wake up and the earth has ended, then the covenant would have failed. And then he said in Jeremiah 33 verse 19 to 21, Jeremiah 33, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night. So day and night are exchanging positions by virtue of covenant. So that there should be no day and night in their season. Then may also my covenant be broken. If you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night. That is, when you slept in the night and you woke up in the morning, the day refused to break.
That is night continued until 12 midday, until 1 p.m., until 3 p.m., until 4 p.m. it is still night. And it continued till the next day and night continued, then you know that the covenant can fail. The covenant will not work anymore. Or it is an endless day. By the time it is 6 p.m., the sun is still there. 12 midnight, the sun is still there. 3 a.m., the sun is still there. 4 a.m., the sun is still there, until the next day. But if you cannot break the covenant of the day, whatever is making the day to exchange position with the night, if you can't stop it, what will make the harvest to exchange position with the seed, you can't stop it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, we do not get results because it is written. We get results because it is revealed. Revelation is the secret of manifestations. The secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us. It is what is revealed that belong to us. And so, what is, and if you read verse 35, he also said the same of Jeremiah 33. And he said, thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of the heaven and the earth, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob. What is it? What is the covenant then all about? He says, as long as the earth holds your weight, and the night exchanges position with the day, seed time will always provoke harvest time. Again, for as long as the earth holds your weight, and as long as the night exchanges position with the day, seed time will always provoke harvest time. For as long as the earth exists, and as long as the night changes position with the day, exchanges position with the day, seed time will always provoke harvest time. That is the summary. That God's covenant is as solid as the earth and as rigid as the night and day rhythm. Somebody say a loud amen. So what have we said so far? God is the God of covenant. Number two, God is a covenant keeper, not a covenant breaker. Number three, God's covenant is as solid as the earth and as rigid as the night and day rhythm. Number four, God makes supply and provision available to his people on the platform of covenant. God makes supply and provision available to his people on the platform of covenant. Supplies and provision. He makes them available to his people on the platform of covenant. We read that already. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. As long as the earth remains seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And then we read also in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 18, Deuteronomy, the throne enemy. Chapter 8 and in verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. He gives you power to conquer wealth in response to the establishment of his covenant. In making this covenant, in performing his obligation of the covenant, he gives you power to get wealth. He releases to you your resources on the platform of his covenant. He is establishing his covenant by releasing to you that power to overcome and to conquer wealth. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 12. The seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit. The ground shall give her increase. And the heaven shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of these people to possess all things. So you see that the seed leads you on to prosperousness, leads you to fruit, leads you to increase, leads you to possession. That one verse. the seed, it starts with the seed and it goes on to the fruit, goes on to increase, goes on to the possession of all things. The beginning point is the seed. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8, all the way to verse 10. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But he said, wherein have we robbed God? Robbed thee in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, with the offerings and with the tithes, it leads you to this realm of open heavens of the blessing. And now, Luke chapter 6 verse 38, this is the traditional one we used to hear 30 something years ago in church. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. It shall be measured to you again. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 35, all these scriptures are showing us that there is something man will do for God to do something. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So in receiving is founded in giving. The blessing is founded in giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 6 to verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Giveth sparingly, reap sparingly. And then Philippians chapter 4 verse 15. Philippians 4 and in verse 15 he said, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. See, no church communicated, no church worked this covenant but you only. So it is giving. It is not giving and giving. It is giving and receiving. It is giving and receiving. It is giving and receiving. That is scriptural. That is God. Supernatural supply. He makes supply available and makes provision available to his people on the platform of covenant. Finally, there is always a connection between seed time and harvest time throughout scripture. There is always the connection between seed time and harvest time throughout scripture. The connection is an unmistakable connection. And we shall look at that now. Between, the meaning of that is, there is a connection between giving and receiving. There is a connection between releasing and receiving. Giving and receiving. Releasing and receiving. There is the connection between effort and effect. Input and output in this kingdom. Effort, effect, input, output, releasing and receiving. There is a connection. I'm going to give you about 5 or 6 or 7 examples throughout scripture. Example number one, the rib and the Eve. The rib and the Eve. God, in Genesis chapter 2 verse 22, Genesis 2 22, God took the rib and gave man the Eve. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made ye a woman and brought her unto the man. What was the seed? The rib. What was the harvest? The Eve. Seed is bone. Eve is person. Now, God took just one rib. One. This slender bone right here is called the rib. He took one rib. Out of that one rib, he manufactured the bones of the skull. He manufactured the bones of the scapula, the sternum. He manufactured the sternum. all the joints, he manufactured the mastoid, he manufactured the humeral, the ulna, the tibia, the the phalanges, the metatarsals and metacarpals, the occiput. He just manufactured over 204 bones, plus flesh, plus muscles, plus tendons, plus ligaments, plus arteries, plus veins, plus venules, plus arterioles, plus capillaries. One bone. One bone. Can you see how much the harvest is so much in excess of the seed? He took the rib and brought back the Eve. Hear this, somebody. In the name of Jesus, I didn't go through this before I came here, otherwise it would have been worse than this. Hallelujah. Somebody get ready, because your harvest is coming your way. If you believe that, say louder, amen. If you believe that, say the loudest, amen. If you believe that, say amen like a believer. And so the rib and the Eve. Number two is the supply for the widow of Zarephath. The supply for the widow of Zarephath. In 1 Kings 17, 13 to 16, she had one meal to eat and then eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Keep going, I'm going all the way to verse. For thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. One meal that was enough, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which is spoke by Elijah. One meal, food that was enough for just one meal, was released literally as seed, and it multiplied until food could not finish, until the famine was over. That was the supply for the widow of Zarephath. Number three, the supply for the prophet's widow. You remember the story of the prophet's widow, where the husband borrowed money and gave her children as collaterals. And when the husband died, they came to get the children. And she cried to the prophet Elisha. And the prophet Elisha asked her what she had in her house. And she had just a bottle of oil. And he asked her to get as many empty vessels as possible. And she poured in that bottle of oil. In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 3 to 4. And she poured that oil. And the oil continued to multiply. Out of one oil, he began to pour it out. What we keep remains. What we release multiplies. Most times we keep things and they just remain the way they are kept. But once they are released, they can multiply. And the supply for the prophet's widow happened by the mystery of releasing and receiving. Number four is the harvest of the Shunammite woman. This one is very interesting, because what came back to her was not material substance. Shunammite woman was a rich woman, wealthy. In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 8 to 10, 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 8 to 10, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed by Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as she passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. Long story made short, they did all of that, and then one day, the man woke up and said, does this woman have any need? The woman said, I don't have any need, because she had accepted the condition of her barrenness. Gehazi said, Oga, she has a need. She has no child and the husband is old. In verse 14, all the way to verse 17, he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she had no child and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, don't lie to your handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Now, of course, that child had a sickness and passed, but the same anointing that brought the child back. Now, this is a situation where the harvest was not material. The harvest was something that money couldn't buy. There are many times that your giving is coming back not in material, in measurable terms. There are many times that the covenant will produce for you results that money can't handle. Am I communicating? Divine health, breaking the yoke of barrenness, and so forth and so on. I see someone here today. God is about to release a covenant result for you that money cannot buy. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. Example number 5, the stick and the axe head. You remember the sons of the prophet went to enlarge their tent, and while they were falling a stick or whatever it was in the river of Jordan, the axe head fell. That was in 2 Kings chapter 6. And in verse 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. The iron did not float. It gained life, swimming like fish. You know the meaning of that? If the axe head must be received, the stick must be released. Listen, there are restorations that we desire that answer to releases. There are things that are missing or lost that can be retrieved by the release, like this axe head. He cut the stick, put it there, and something that they were looking for returned. The stick and the axe head. Number 6 is the feeding of the multitudes. The story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Multitudes of people were there. But if they must be fed, what was on ground must be released. There was a child that there is a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what is that among so many people? John chapter 6. You should read all the way from verse 6 all to verse 12. But the lad brought the food, and it was multiplied. 5,000 men, beside women and children. And I think it was important to emphasize 5,000 men, because they have to tell us the capacity of the people. If they say 5,000 women, you know that compared to men, women don't eat as much as men. Well, maybe some, but on a general note. So 5,000 men, capacious men. On a hungry day. Alright? And this was what the 5,000, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and then they took back 12 baskets filled. Can I ask a question? What do you think will happen to the person who brought the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He has to return back with the harvest. He has to return back with the harvest. The owner of the hen is the owner of the egg. And the owner of the egg is the owner of the hen. Hallelujah. That is the law of the release of releasing and receiving. That is the law of releasing and receiving. That happened. And final example is the miracle of water to wine. That's number 7 in John chapter 2 and in verse 5. Where his mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, "Draw out now, and be unto the governor of the feast." Long story made short, the water turned into wine. Somebody say amen. The miracle of the water to wine says something to us. That there is something you have, but there is something you need. Water was available, but wine was desirable. That the covenant makes room for the fact that we can use what is available, to connect what is desirable. We can release what we have to be able to receive what we need or what we lack. That is the miracle of water turning to wine. I see God changing somebody's story today in Jesus' precious name. What have we said so far? We said first and foremost that God is the God of covenant. Number two, we said that God is a covenant keeper, not a covenant breaker. Number three, we said that God's covenant is as solid as the earth and as rigid as the night and day rhythm. Number four, God makes supply and provision available to his people on the platform of the covenant. And number five, there is always a connection between the seed time and the harvest time throughout scripture. And we saw all of that just now. What conclusion can we draw tonight? What is our conclusion? Number one, walking the covenant is superior to quoting the promises. Walking the covenant, walking. Many Christians look for scriptures to quote. That is very, very good, but there is something higher than that. It is looking for covenant details to walk in. Looking for what God wants you to do so that you can watch God do what you want him to do. And second conclusion, God is a covenant keeper. Listen to this. Once the responsibility of man is discharged, the response of God is guaranteed. God is a covenant keeper. Once the responsibility of man is discharged, the response of God is guaranteed. Once you do what God wants you to do, you don't need to beg God for him to do what he is bound to do. Covenant is like the game of chess. One person plays, and then he waits for the other person to play. And the one makes the move, the other person makes the counter move or whatever move, and then they move. No, but you don't move. No, you move and wait, and he moves, and then you move. It's like, that's covenant. You make the move, God makes the move. You make the move, God makes the move. You move. He moves. Hallelujah. That is how it is. When God is like at the water of the Red Sea, when God asked Moses to lift the rod, Moses lifted the rod, and Moses waited. And then God brought the east wind to part the Red Sea. God was not expecting Moses to bring the wind. Neither was Moses expecting God to leave the rod. God will not leave the rod for Moses. And Moses will not bring the wind for God. Just do the one you are meant to do. And God will do the one he is meant to do. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Many of us are asking God to bring the wind without lifting the rod. God says it doesn't work like that. Lift the rod first. Then I'll bring the wind. And then I'll bring the wind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody blessed? Is somebody touched? Is somebody impacted? Lift up your hands and thank him for his word to you tonight. Appreciate him, honor him, adore him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. We give you the worship. We give you the worship. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Lift your voice and thank him for his word. Lekoberote sifiti kazagada galayada hazarishta. Larote sekepe kote konero hosatila. Yekosa parataka layalala hosada. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your voice and say, Father, let your word produce results
in my life
tonight.
Let your word
produce the desired results in my life tonight. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. In Jesus' precious name. Psalm 37 and in verse 25. I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. He lendeth, and his seed is blessed forever. Walking in the covenant, you are not permitted to be a beggar. You are not permitted to be a borrower. You are not permitted to be stranded under heaven for any reason. We are going to ask for the purpose of God all round to be fulfilled in our lives. In the book of Proverbs 19:21, he said, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Lift your hands and your voice and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
I ask that your counsel and your purpose for my life and destiny in this season stands in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that your counsel and your purpose for my life and destiny in this season, I ask that it shall stand, that it stands in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Father, I ask that your counsel and your purpose for my life and my destiny in this season will stand in the name of Jesus. Let it stand. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
We're going to ask that the counsel of the enemy for Nigeria will perish.
Amen.
And that the counsel and purpose of God for our nation will flourish.
Amen.
Lift your voice and say, Father,
Father,
we ask that your counsel, that the counsel. Say, Father,
Father,
we ask that the counsel of the enemy for our nation, Nigeria, will perish. We ask that your counsel and purpose for our nation will flourish in this season in the name of Jesus. Again, Father, we ask that the counsel of the enemy for our nation, Nigeria, will perish, and your counsel and purpose for our nation will flourish in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Father, we ask that the counsel of the enemy for our nation Nigeria will perish, and your counsel and purpose for our nation will flourish, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask that the counsel of the enemy for our nation Nigeria will perish, and your counsel and purpose for our nation will flourish, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask that the counsel of the enemy for our nation Nigeria will perish, and your counsel and purpose for our nation will flourish in the name of Jesus. Letoretesika daga laya torakasaga. Lepereniga gaya la husada. Retesike parutasaka. Leperetesete kina gagada. Leperetasaka talagada. In Jesus' precious name. How many of you know that money is a god? The Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. Money, there is the god of money. that has so much grip on our nation, Nigeria. You have things that could go well, but suddenly becomes destroyed by the influence of money. People are selling human body parts for money. People are doing all manner of things for money. The role of money in politics, the role of money in the judiciary. Father, let your power and your purpose overcome the power of money in Nigeria in this season. Let your power, if you say there are many devices in the heart of a man, but the counsel of the Lord that shall stand, let your power and your purpose overcome the power of money, the power and the influence of money in every realm of our national life, in the political realm, in the judicial and legal system, every realm, let the power of God overcome and conquer the power of money. Lift your voice and pray after me and say, Father, we ask that your purpose and your will will overcome the power and the influence of mammon in Nigeria, in every realm, in the political realm, in the judiciary, in the civil service. Say, Father, we ask that your purpose and your will overcome the power and the influence of mammon in Nigeria in this season. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Let the power, Father, we ask that your purpose and your will overcome the power and the influence of mammon in Nigeria in this season. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, your power and your will, your purpose, your will, your power will overcome the power and the influence of mammon in Nigeria in this season. Overcome the power of mammon in the political realm, the power of mammon in the judiciary, the power of mammon in civil service. Break the power of money over our nation in the name of Jesus. Let us let us say destroy the power of mammon. Let it fail. In Jesus' precious name. Isaiah chapter 62 verse 1 and verse 7. 62:1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Nigeria's sake will I not hold my peace. And for the sake of the Nigerians, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. People, God is set to do something in our nation, and you shall not rest. We shall not rest until we find rest. Verse 7. Some people don't understand why we talk the way we talk and preach the way we preach. When you are literally at the receiving end of a generation's burden. Today, maybe I may have had one or two or three text messages of headsmen in our territory moving freely, fully armed, ready to. Today. And nothing has that. And today, I sent some to you. And he confirmed to me. When somebody sends you a text message and he said, today is my brother's wedding day and he is in the kidnapper's camp, what will you do? Father, change the system. Change the situation. The system that has brought us to this level. Change it. That is the restlessness. That is the passion. Nobody may send send such a text message to any governor. Nobody may send such, and I'm talking about thousands of such, hundreds of such text messages. We shall not rest. Now, verse 7. Oh no, we're talking about house rent, school fees. Those ones are just endless. Totally endless. I forwarded one to you the other day from, Zito Maya, or wherever. I don't know the person. My child is about to go to school, no money. I said, okay, investigate there from the pastor of that church and let's see what, how to help. All, from everywhere, it's endless. So we are so under pressure for the things to change so it can be better for everybody. Verse 7 said, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. First of all, God himself shall not rest in verse 1. Okay? He said, for Jerusalem, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the right. And then you that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest. So lift your voice and say after me, say, Father,
Father,
we demand
that you will
in this season establish Nigeria and make Nigeria a praise in the earth, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, according to your word, you will not rest and you will not hold your peace until you establish Nigeria's righteousness in the earth. Father, fulfill your word concerning Nigeria. Now, open your mouth and pray. Fulfill your word. You say you will not rest. Fulfill your word and establish Nigeria a praise in the earth. Fulfill your word. Fulfill your word. Fulfill your word. Masha kadigalaya yahusarana. Fulfill your word. In Jesus' precious name, the Lord has answered us. I said the Lord has answered us. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 5. I, saith the Lord, will be a wall of fire round about. I will be the glory in the midst of her. Lift up your hands and say, Father,
let your presence
in my life and your presence in Dunamis establish your wall of fire around us against every onslaught of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, say, Father, let your glory in my life and your glory in Dunamis establish your wall of fire, the wall of fire around my life, around our lives, against every onslaught of the enemy in this season. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Let your presence. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and give him the praise. The Lord has answered us. It's a dawning of a new day. It's a dawning of a new day. So a new day is dawning in the life of somebody. It's dawning in the life of our nation. And there's no devil that can stop it. We're going to celebrate that song. While we are doing that, if you are in need of surrender to Jesus, quickly pick your Bibles and your bags and step to the front and let's receive you. And if you are surrendering and saying, Pastor, I need my sins forgiven. I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. I need the yoke of sin broken. I need to rededicate myself. I need an addiction broken. There is a lifestyle I'm living I'm not happy with. And I need to be free of that lifestyle. Quickly step forward here while we celebrate that song in 3 minutes. While we do that, the communion will also take their positions. God bless you. Go ahead. Those coming forward, come quickly. God bless you. I'll give you the count of 7-1.
It has done is the dawning of a new day.
To rededicate yourself, you also join us. Place your hand on your chest, those of you in the front, and pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life, make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you. I declare the hold of sin broken off your life. And the grace to live for God is released upon you. I call it done in Jesus' name. Somebody say aloud, amen.